This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Kate Quapio, and I am interviewing Monza Herrera in Queens, New York, on phone on July 29, 2020. Monza, do you give me permission to record this oral history?
Yes, you have my permission.
So, Monza, tell me a bit about yourself.
So, just like you, we are the same major. I'm also a freshman. And after Guttman, I want to transfer to John Jay, major in criminal justice. After that, hopefully go to graduate school for my PhD and work at a hospital, psychiatric hospital or prison as a criminal psychologist. And also my birthday's next month.
Okay.
Just saying.
So, Monse, what is your racial identity?
Latina, Mexican-American.
Sexual orientation?
I'm a proud bisexual.
Hey. Okay, mm-hmm. Monse, so tell me a bit about how you and your family ended up here in New York.
I was born here in New York, in Manhattan specifically. So was my mom. But my father was born in Mexico, in the city. And he crossed the border with a bunch of other immigrants as well. He was really young. He was in his teenage years. And he came to New York. He eventually met my mom. And they were very young when they lived together. But we lived in Manhattan for a short amount of time, for about 2 years, I would say. And then we moved to Queens. But ever since, I would say I was mostly raised in Queens because the majority of my life I've lived in Queens. So, yeah.
So just like me, Queens.
Yeah.
Queens. So, Monta, what is your opinion on police before the protest against police brutality began in May?
I always was aware of the police brutality, and being someone that was on the inside, being someone who isn't white, and I've heard a lot of like racist comments coming from cops, and not to me personally, but like on social media. So I was very much aware about it. And so I always felt intimidated by cops, like every time I passed by them. I mean, you and I both live near a precinct. And for me personally, I always feel like intimidated. Like if I make a sudden movement, I don't want them to perceive it as I'm dangerous or I'm someone who's going to cause harm just because I am Latina. I'm Mexican-American. And also based off of, you know, growing up, based off of personal encounters with police, I've always felt very intimidated and sort of scared. Like I always had to watch what I said or how I, you know, I guess my physical behaviors. Like I had to always like, I don't know how to say it. Like I always had to like watch myself, even though I didn't need to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories you want to share with us?
Or me? Oh yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I would say there was a lot of like family issues, and it was sort of like a routine for police to always show up to our house. And ever since I was born, that's always been the case. And being that this was, you know, a situation where officers had to come to my house to take a family member out of my house, it was scary because, you know, you grow up and you see police taking your family member away, and then it's sort of like a pattern and it just keeps repeating over and over again. So I can understand for me growing up where that intimidation comes from, being, you know, feeling that way towards cops. And yeah, I mean, it's nothing new to me now. I really hate to say that I'm used to it. I'm sort of conditioned to these type of situations in my family when it happens. But there's always a part of me that's scared that something bad's going to happen I don't want to always assume that because they take this family member away and they take them to the hospital, that that's always going to be the case. Because nowadays with police brutality, you know, I feel like I have the right to be scared. But yeah.
How about now after the protests that are happening? Do you feel different about it or do you still feel the same?
There's definitely some difference compared to before all of this started. I feel like now that it's all happening, we're seeing so much more in media and the news. And I feel like now I'm more emotionally connected with them. Not the police, with the protesters and Black Lives Matter. Because of all these awful videos that are appearing on social media. And being that we're, you know, I'm still quarantining, you know, I'm not going out as much. I'm always on social media. And it's like video after video after video. And it's like heartbreaking to see that. So I'm like, it's a mixture of like anger and sadness and sort of like this feeling that you need to help, but you don't know what to do, but to just sign petitions and donate money and spread awareness. But I feel like I want to do more than that, than also just protest, because I feel like things need to be done. And I mean, we've had conversations before and you were also mad. I've had conversations with my parents and with other friends, and we're just all angry about this because it's so gut-wrenching to see those things happening. Even in this generation, you would think that after all this time, things would have changed. But no, it's not. There's still people being oppressed just because of their skin color. And that's, at this point, it's just ridiculous. But it's something that's, you know, happening in real life. And it's something that has to change. So I'm obviously now very much, I want to say I'm more empowered to do something about it because I am. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm just really angry when I think about it. When I talk about it, I just get...
You feel some type of way. Yeah, I feel you, you know, because we also, even though... Wait, we're not Black, but we're still part of that because we're people of color. And we're also being affected by it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So obviously we're going to be all pissed about it and want to try and make a change about it because it's been years of the same thing, you know?
Yeah, and with our president, it's really no help. And it's sort of up to the people who actually care to try to do something about it. And that's why... Everyone's saying spread awareness, sign petitions, and donate money because president's not doing anything.
Yeah,
no one's really doing much. The government's not doing much. So it's like sort of up to us to deal with it. And we're doing so much. And I feel like now even protesters are putting themselves through hell to fix this issue that should have been fixed years ago. It shouldn't even be a problem. It should have never been a problem. But you know, this is reality and it sucks.
Yeah. So, Monte, what is your opinion of protest movements before May of this year?
I love protest movements. I've always wanted to attend one. I never have. I've always wanted to attend women rights protests, the environmental one about climate change. I never went to it, unfortunately. But I always thought there was an empowerment feeling over it. And yeah, I've always wanted to go to one.
And until now, do you think that's ever changed or it's still the same since the moment you knew about protests till now? If that makes sense.
No, that's still that makes sense. It's still the same. I feel like my love for protests and how inspired I am by, you know, protesting and having a voice. I feel like right now everyone wants a voice, especially for Black Lives Matter. So I feel more empowered by it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like if I see it, I'm just like, yeah, you know.
So I want your opinion or what you think about this. Why do you think these protesters are erupted?
What do you mean erupted?
Like, why is it starting now? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, okay. Like, why hasn't something been done before?
Yeah, in a way. Or, like, why they're so mad. Like, not so mad. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a deeper meaning to protesting. Sort of, like, when you're protesting, you sort of have this feeling of, like, I'm strong, I'm doing something by screaming, holding up a sign, and, you know, or giving a speech. And that's sort of, like, the psychology behind it. When you're in the moment and when you're in a protest, you're in the moment. But I feel like now that ever since George Floyd, I feel like that sort of was the last straw. But a part of me feels like George Floyd should not have been the last straw, if that makes sense. Like, this is something we should have been trying to fix from the beginning, from years ago, from before we were born. This is something that's been happening, but everyone is sort of turning away, sort of shunning it and being like, well, you know, they're free now, so whatever. But there's still oppression. There's still people that believe that we shouldn't have the same freedom. We shouldn't have equal rights. We should still be looked at, and Black people should still be looked at as bad people, and they're not. And even us as Mexican Americans and Latinx people of the Latinx community shouldn't be looked at as that. But it's so hard to fight for those things that right now, especially with this, you know, Generation Z, which would include us, they're so, like, empowering. They know what they want. They're going to fight for it. And there's so many memes online about, like, how people in the Gen Z community will be so shy to make an order at McDonald's, but will punch a cop at a protest. But the thing is that there's a difference between that. It's like, you could be shy, but when something bad happens to a person in the community and you know it's wrong, like police brutality, it's like, enough is enough already. And it's ridiculous. So they're protesting right now, 2020. I don't know why it should have been happening before, but it's sort of like that saying of, like, it's better now than never. It's better sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm still listening.
Yeah, but it should have been happening before.
What happened?
No, it's okay. I'm just saying, like, it's good that it's happening now, because I'd rather something be happening now. Even though this whole coronavirus thing, it's sort of like, the timing it's crazy. But, I mean, it's happening now, so.
Yeah, like you said, it's better now than later.
Yeah.
So, going with coronavirus, do you think that coronavirus changed? Like, I know it changed our lives, like, in many ways, but do you think it changed the way we thought or think about society, the world, everything that's going on?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if is it, like, a personal question, or you're asking me, like, in general, have I seen any changes with people?
Personal and in general.
Okay, well, I mean, in general, obviously, I've seen a lot of people change. It's affected people. I mean, being college students and, you know, obviously having friends that are also college students, it's stressful. So virtual learning, I mean, even people who are not from Gutman still have to wake up on a schedule where they have to still log on and go to class. And I'm not saying, like, oh, that's super stressful, but it's like, we still have to be at home and with our families, and have to find time and space where we can also prioritize our education. And not just the students, but I mean, imagine our parents and the adults that still have to leave the house during this pandemic and still work. And it's not because, oh, we're just, you know, the pandemic's not real, I'm still gonna go to work. The pandemic's real, like, coronavirus is here and it's happening, but we still need money to pay rent, to pay off, you know, mortgages, or to feed their kids, to keep a roof over their head. And it's not easy. And we've seen that firsthand, being in families that are in the working class. So yeah, it's affected the general, general population. It's affected me personally and my mental health. But it's something that I feel like I've been working on a lot. So yeah, it's affected everyone, not just me. I'm not the only one that's, like, affected by this. Every single person has been affected by it.
Mm-hmm. I also think that, I don't know if you can agree with me or not, but quarantine gave us that time to, like, catch up with everything that's happening. Because sometimes, you know, we forget about watching the news or knowing what's happening in our world right now. And right now it was, like, a reflection for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. But you also brought up a good point, like, watching the news. You realize how, like, back then, like, before this whole pandemic, before the protesting, before any of this 2020 stuff happened, no one was really watching the news. But now that we're kind of stuck at home and we're always stuck on the media also including TV and the news. So not only have you brought up the news, but it's also like you realize all of the information they're misleading and they're not, reporting correctly on TV, which, I mean, I just wanted to, like, point that out. Like, the news is, like, ridiculous, especially the news that, like, try to point out protesters as, like, bad people. Because that's so dumb.
Yeah. I think we see that a lot with, like, our households and, you know, other news stations.
Yeah.
Do you think COVID impacted protesters? Or protests?
I'm pretty sure there has been protesters that have caught COVID. I mean, out of the bunch of times protests have been going on, not just in New York, but all over the country, were there not, I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware or if you even know, were there protests happening, like, also internationally, like, in different countries for Black Lives Matter? Because if there was, then I'm pretty sure that it could have affected them as well. But definitely here in the United States and in New York, I'm pretty sure there's people who caught COVID during a protest. But yeah, they have to be, like, you know, wearing their mask or if they have gloves on. But yeah, for sure, it's affected protests and protesters.
Going back to the question you asked me about protests in other countries, I think there was a protest in Hong Kong, in China, for Black Lives Matter.
Oh, okay. If I'm not mistaken, yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm not aware either, but I just want to...
Yeah, no.
If there was, yeah, then it probably could have affected them as well.
Also, going back to another thing that you talked about earlier was you've never been part of a protest. And even though you're not part of a protest, what do you do to make your voice be heard?
I think just, like, the fact that I'm not able to really go out, I think social media is, like, the prime of everything right now. That's sort of, like, the source of everything. And reposting stuff and sharing stories and making sure that your voice is including other voices as well. Because if you don't have a story, then share someone else's story who needs it to be heard. I've signed a bunch of petitions. I don't have that much money. I mean, I'm just a student and college needs to be paid for. So I try to donate as much money as I could. When this actually first started, I tried donating to a few like GoFundMe pages,
yeah,
that really needed it during this pandemic and during all these protests. But yeah, I feel like for everyone it's been like just social media.
Yeah. And since you're always on social media, what do you think about the cops' response from the protest or response to the protest that began in May?
I talked about this a few times with a couple of my friends. Because if we talk about the bad cops, then it's, like, obvious what their response would be to the protests, that they hate them. I mean, there's been audio recordings that were leaked, actually, from our NYPD here in New York, our police department, that they said they were gonna, like, shoot the protesters, I believe. I don't want to, like, quote that, but I'm pretty sure they said they were gonna harm protesters. But I feel like coming from bad cops, that's not a surprise what their response would be. But from good cops, and I'd like to put that in quotes, I've seen a few videos of cops who are actually for the Black Lives Matter, and they like to say, well, you know, I want to protect the protesters, what people are doing in my department is wrong, I feel like, well, okay, thank you for acknowledging that, but do something within your department. And it always goes back to like this destructive obedience of police officers only doing these bad things because they're being told. So then they're sort of like in a fear of losing their job, because they might also be providing for their family and for themselves. But that's exactly where destructive obedience comes from, because you're harming the community you're supposed to be protecting and serving. And these are protesters, and these police officers say that they're aware that these protesters are peaceful and they're trying to fight for rights, for Black lives, and trying to make voices be heard in all these stories and all these unfortunate losses that we've had to mourn, like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And it's something that should have never happened, but of course these police officers who are, you know, making these videos and posting them on TikTok and Instagram and their Facebook, it's like, okay, but do something about it. You're an actual police officer. Do something in your department, you know, make a voice be heard. But then again, I've actually read an article, and I don't want to say it and then for it to not be true, but a police officer, I think, actually tried to make changes within the department. I'm not sure if it was here in New York or another state, and they actually lost their job because of it. So that, again, proves the destructive obedience, that cops do bad things because they're being told to, and if they disobey that, they're done. They lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Monta, what do you think about Mayor de Blasio respond to protest?
I'm not very happy with a lot of the things that de Blasio has been saying and doing. He hasn't really done a lot of the things that would be benefiting New York. So I'm not really happy with it. I don't know. It's just, it's ridiculous that as someone who's supposed to be hearing the people of New York, I don't agree with the things that he's been doing. Actually, the things he hasn't been doing for us, but yeah.
How about with Andrew Cuomo?
Cuomo has been doing a lot more than I feel like de Blasio has been doing. Then again, I follow Cuomo more than I do with de Blasio. With the protesters, correct me if I'm wrong, but Cuomo was with the protesters?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was obviously, you know, Black Lives Matter. But he is doing a lot with, like, you know, telling people to wear a freaking mask because, you know, hello. Yes, there's protesting happening, but he's, like, you know, putting up, like, rules and regulations, like, you need a mask. If not, then, you know, like, if you go into a restaurant, they said, we can refuse service if you refuse to use a mask, then, yeah, you deserve to not get any service if you're not gonna, you know, wear a mask. Because it's not just your health, it's everyone else's health as well.
Yeah. How about, do you know anything about with Congress and their response to the protest?
I've heard a lot, but I'm not really like 100% sure. I don't want to quote something that's not true.
Yeah. Okay. And I think this would be your favorite question.
Okay.
So, what do you think about President Trump's response to the protest? That began in May.
I feel like that would also be your favorite question. It's obviously not right. We all know this. I mean, being from New York and being from a more liberal state, a majority, I'd want to say, I don't know the statistics of the number, population, and percentage of people here who are against Trump, but I definitely am anti-Trump because, you know, hello.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not happy with his responses, and his responses are ridiculous for literally everything. He is like a grown child that hasn't really grown like maturity, or, you know, he's not very aware of what's going on. Even though he's probably like reading all of these articles and seeing what's happening. But of course, like if we go back to the protest that was happening, I don't know what state it was. Was it
the one in Washington?
Was it in Washington? The one where they were like, these white people were protesting these Trump supporters to like open up states, and they had signs that were like, I want to cut my hair, like open the barbershops up. And it's ridiculous because those people are seen as peaceful, even though they were armed. They had guns. And he tweeted that they're good people. And I think that's ridiculous. And it's so stupid. And literally every word that comes out of his mouth is like stupidity, because they're supporting him. So of course he would say they're nice people. But when he sees protesters and he sees them, aside from looting, but there were peaceful protesters that actually had gone in front of the White House, and he had people like shoot them.
Yeah,
like with rubber bullets. Yeah, and I think that also happened to be the same day that President Trump was doing, I don't know, like some sort of like photo thing or whatever.
Yeah, where he was like holding the Bible. Yeah, upside down.
Yeah, and so it's like, yes, of course, you want to be protected as a president, and people are obviously, you've always been like very much like against him, and he's fully aware of that. But for him to even call out peaceful protesters and say that they're people who are bad, they're harming their communities. And I mean, there's a difference between looting and the protesters, but that's like a whole different subject. But I don't even think he would agree with what he's been saying.
No, I don't. Okay, last question. How would you like to see this movement resolved?
Resolved. I feel like the way everyone wants it to be resolved. Trump out of the office. I don't want to say like Bernie Sanders, because maybe someone wants Biden, but you know, we just want someone who's actually going to take care of these problems. Defund the police. Like, please defund the police. That money could go to so many other different things that could be benefiting. I mean, if you remember high school, mental health services was like, barely. I remember going to the social worker there because I had a lot of anxiety, and that was like, she was always, you know, student after student after student, she was always booked, so I never really was able to get any mental health services that I needed. But then again, like, the police has all this money for their weapons or for whatever they use that money for, when they could go into education, they could go into these services that we need. And it's like, yeah, defund the police for sure. And that would be like ending police brutality, and charge the police officers that commit police brutality, because that should be a crime just because you're a cop. And of course, as a police officer, not me as a police officer, but speaking to a police officer and just imagining them in their position, feeling like they're above the law, because I'm pretty sure there are cops, a lot of cops who believe that and feel that. And I feel like those people need to be put in their place and saying, you're not above the law. You're here to protect and serve, and you're putting the community, your community, in fear. And that shouldn't be the case. And you're doing your job wrong. And I feel like that needs to happen. But of course, that's such, you know, even now, it feels like such a long fight for that. But I think that's just a small portion of what I see in the future and what I would want in the future.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Last question. Do you have anything you want to say out to the public, anyone who listens to this? What would you like to say?
If you're a person of color, if you're in the Latinx community, if you're Black, if you're an LGBTQ+, if you're all of that together, it's tough right now, and I feel like you could agree. I've always been the type to like put mental health first, and definitely if you feel like just anxious or really sad, really down, feeling stuck and trapped, there's always different alternatives for that. And there definitely are people that want to hear what you say, because you know, you're always heard. There's always a voice that needs to be heard. I just feel like we just need to listen a bit harder. Because it's not just, you know, these people that are struggling at this moment during these times, that, you know, they shouldn't have to scream for help. We should also be listening for people that need it, because you and I are fully aware, and we both check up on each other. because, you know, these times are not easy. And so I feel like we need to start doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, Mota, well, that was it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.